Hello everyone, welcome to Computer Science E75 live video section, and this time we actually do have live video feedback up and running, so for those of you at home joining in, welcome. Today though, we still will not be in the virtual terminal room, it will just be a live section, and so those of you that are here will have to bear the responsibility of asking all of the questions again. So today, we are going to be talking about SQL, and so there's different names for it. Some people call it SQL, some people call it SQL, depending on how snobbish you're trying to be. So you'll probably hear me use it interchangeably. Of course, we do have a set of notes up, and since this is kind of an introductory set of notes, it's actually quite lengthy. They're now up to 7 pages, but it goes over quite a bit of stuff. And today in section, we're going to talk about what SQL is, information about how the tables are stored, just very basically, and we're going to go over quite a few examples how to make a web-based application that's basically like an address book. And in the latter half, Kato will come up here and he'll show you the PHP portion of SQL, whereas in the first half, I'm just going to be talking mostly about SQL. So SQL is basically a way to send queries to a database, and from those queries you can either update information, you can retrieve information, you can create tables, you can create databases, you can pretty much do anything that you want with this sort of query language. And as you'll see, that knowing that query language is actually very, very important even for your PHP web apps. So you can find a lot of information about MySQL, which is the particular SQL implementation we are using, from MySQL's website, and very much like PHP's website, which has a very good glossary, basically, of a lot of the functions. Also here, you will find very good documentation about the syntax of the statements, even though we'll go over basic ones. You can find commands and how to do logic and all of that sort of thing. So I do recommend this in addition to your PHP.net glossary to use this as well in your exploration of this stuff. So databases. So SQL is an example of a relational database, which essentially means that the data is stored in rows and columns, and it makes it pretty easy to think about because, like David mentioned in class, you can use an analogy of an Excel file to be able to create a database. So I have here, though I don't have Excel exactly, I have basically something that looks very much like it. It's just the spreadsheet, a bunch of rows, and a bunch of columns. But for us to really get into SQL, so the example that we're going to use today to create, so not only right now where we're going to create a database of some information, but later where Kato's going to demonstrate the PHP portion, we want to do a very basic address book, so something like an online address book sort of thing. So this seems like a good thing that you might want to have in a database with the number of fields to be able to create in your database. So help me out. What are some of the fields that we need?
Last name, first name.
Last name, first name. Okay, so I'll actually do it the other way around. First name and last name. What else? I'm sorry? Okay, so address. Yep, so street address. We'll just do street for now. What else?
City.
State. Zip code, and maybe phone number. All right. So this deviates from the section notes a little bit. There's actually a much simpler version from the section notes that you'll see. It's basically just student names and a list of HUIDs, but it's all the same sort of thing. It's all the same idea. What we've done here is defined the fields, which is another name basically for columns, along the top. And so this is not necessarily how it's stored. The very first row isn't necessarily, I guess I transposed it a row, but the very first row isn't necessarily the list of the fields. But this is a good analogy for how MySQL or how the database stores this information. And as we'll see with phpMyAdmin, this is actually how the data is represented to you. So it's abstracted from the way that it's stored a little bit, but that really isn't that important to us. So with that in mind, since you do have to actually define data types, you have to tell MySQL what kind of data is actually going to be put into each of these things. And so what are some of the data types that we're familiar with from PHP?
String.
Okay, that's a big one. What's another one? Integers, okay. Anything else? Booleans, okay. Yeah, that's a very basic integer. It's just a 0 or 1, you can think of it. What else?
Float,
okay, which we would use for decimals and such. And so with MySQL, it's a little bit different, but you can imagine that some of them are actually quite similar. So I have here, these are some of the more popular data types with MySQL, and unlike PHP, the data types here are very rigid. So you should, when you define them, you have to be sure that your data matches this data type. It's not going to convert very cleanly for you. So think about this and put thought into creating your table first, like what we are doing now. You want to spend some time just thinking about it and setting up the table how you want before you actually start coding. So here we have an integer, and basically there's a difference between unsigned and signed integers. And really, an unsigned integer is just positive numbers from 0 to basically 4.3 billion, and then signed integers basically go from negative 2 billion, include all the negative integers, 0, and all the positive integers up to about positive 2 billion. That's pretty crazy, but I do want to just take a moment to talk about representing numbers such as the HUIDs. So as you can see here, this is the example from the section notes, and there's three fields here, HUID, the first name, and a last name. And with HUID, you might be tempted to name it what data type?
Integer.
It seems reasonable, right? Except that there's a possibility that the HUIDs may actually begin with a zero, in which case the integer, that doesn't fly very well with the integer data type because it drops all zeros beforehand. And so what might be a better choice then instead in this particular case would be a string. If it was a true integer where leading zeros didn't matter, then we could use the integer, certainly. If we were absolutely sure, for example, that HUIDs didn't begin with zero, then we could pick an integer. But I'm not sure in this case, and so we must use a string. So moving on, there is another type for decimals, and it's very easy. It's just called decimal. And for all intents and purposes, you can represent any decimal number with this particular type of field. So another one is date and time. So this is very specific for representing, obviously, date and time. And you can see that there's a very specific way that you have to define the data there. So do be careful. MySQL will probably error out, or it will error out if you try to insert data that is not in that format. So be careful when you are inserting date and time. The last one is basically varchar, which is essentially just a string. And so it can be a really long string, up to 65,000 characters long, which is pretty much overkill for many of the applications that you will be using. But if you do need something that's long, then certainly use varchar. But so with this in mind, let's go back to the potential database that we're creating, and let's go through all of these fields and try to figure out what might be the best data type for it. So how about the first name? Okay, varchar. So I'll just make it easy and say that last name should also be varchar. How about the street? So this includes the street address and the street name and such, which would be what? All right, varchar. City again, varchar. So this is kind of skewing it a little bit, but you can see that many of these things will probably be varchar. So what about zip? Integer? Leading zeros are significant in this case. So again, we will want varchar. A phone number. How about a phone number? What do you think?
Well, you're never going to have to add phone numbers. They're not
what do you mean?
Used as numbers. We're going to use as
strings. Right. That's right. I mean, but it really depends how you want to implement it. So, for example, we could just say that if we're absolutely sure that they're going to be U.S. phone numbers, for example, which are, 10 digits long, and we're sure that they're not going to start with zero, for example, then you can use it as an integer, and then just later just basically put in a dash, you know, every so many strings, for example. But we can also say a varchar. So in this case, I think let's see, just to make it harder on Cato later, I'm going to say integer. And look, oh good, that sounds like that's about it. So there's another aspect, though, about defining data in MySQL, and that is you also have to define the length of the field. That is true for varchar and, there may be another one, but for things like integer, you may not have to do it, but it's good practice to define the length of the field. And that basically means how many, in the case of varchar, how many characters that field is actually going to take as a maximum. So what might be a reasonable maximum length for the first name field? 10, 25. Yeah, 25 sounds good. That's the example that I used in the section notes. So I'll just go ahead and use, not to belittle 10, but 25 sounds good. If you have a first name with 25 characters, well, it's probably a bit long, but still, it's a good example here. Last name, another reasonable length would be 25. Street, what do you think? I don't know, maybe 50. City, probably another 25. I don't know. These are all, you all can make these up. And so what about state? We can represent all of these with two character abbreviations. So in this case, all we need are two. Zip code.
And in that case, if you're using the abbreviations, you could probably choose to use a char instead of varchar, right?
Yes,
because
you can.
It's going to be two characters. It's never going to be one character. And it's never going to be more than two characters. So
right, that is correct. Yes, yeah, so in this case, because it's always going to be two characters, you can actually use the char data type rather than the varchar. The varchar data type, so this is skipping ahead just a little bit, but the varchar data type is called var because it's a variable width and it'll only use as much space as it needs to. So in this case, you can use the char data type. There is a more stringent limit on the length of the char data type, which I think might be 255 characters, if I'm not mistaken. And so in which case, this would match just fine. So just for the sake of keeping things different, rather than having a whole bunch of varchar fields, we'll change it to char. That's a good suggestion. So how about the zip code? Yep. Yeah, so the maximum length would be 9. If you wanted to be lazy, you could say 5, but we'll do a 9-digit zip code. And how about a phone number here? Since we're doing an integer, how long does it need to be?
Do you want to support international friends?
So unfortunately, I'm going to say no. We'll only be... We're only going to do U.S. here, especially since we only have state and zip, and we're not supporting any country codes or anything.
No extension numbers either, because we're choosing integers, so we're not going to call this number and hit 4.
Right, that's exactly right. So the downside, again, to picking an integer for the phone is that we lose the ability to add integers, or I'm sorry, to add extensions to the end of the phone number. So in this case, we're stuck to just a straight 10-digit phone number. So you can see that already, just in some of the design decisions that we've made, we're limiting ourselves from a vast number of data in order to create this particular implementation. So I mentioned some several types, but obviously there are more that are available. And so there's a link on the section notes, which I recommend that you check out. And the remaining types are actually, I want to copy this. The remaining types, for the most part, are variations of the ones that we have just talked about, but there are some that are useful. For example, if you need a bigger integer than 4.3 billion for whatever reason, you can use, for example, the big int data type. And so here, this is just a table of some of the integer data types. Let's see if I can make this bigger for everybody. So here we can see that it goes from tiny int, which basically goes any integer from 0 to 255, all the way to big int, which goes from 0 to 18. I have no idea how many characters that is. That big int is huge. It's a big number. If you really need large integers, then big int is the way to go. So be mindful and use the one that's most appropriate for your particular case. When we were talking about integer for our phone number, is that really necessary? Do we need to define an integer for it? It looks like it's overkill. We can certainly use a tiny int in that case, since we're only using 10 characters. I'm lying. That's bad, because this is not the number of digits. This goes from 0 to 255, which is only 3 characters. So we probably should use integer in order to do that. Even that's not going to be big enough? So we have to go to big int? Really? Okay. So in this case, so that's good that we had a look at this and verified that the data is not going to be correct. So the reason that integer would not be big enough is because goes from 0 to 4 billion, which has, what, 3? It's 10 characters, but it won't let you have a phone number that starts with, say, a 5 or a 6 or a 7 or an 8, because if you put all of those 10 characters together from a phone number, it's going to be in the billions, right? And so you can only have 1 through 4 billion. So instead, we have to change our integer to a big int. And so you can already see that for the variety of reasons that we've talked about, probably a better choice for the phone would be a varchar. So I guess I'll go against what I said before, and we'll just switch to a varchar. And we'll keep it at 10 in this case, which means it's 10 characters long. But in this way, we're not going to have a problem with it later. We're not going to have to worry about if the phone number is large enough to be represented by an integer or what. So far, so good? Everybody following? So again, I'm just putting it in this Excel-like file just so that you can see very easily what it's like. But as you'll see, this is not necessarily how the data is represented. Okay, let me move this out of the way. Excuse me. So now you've kind of created your first, or at least the first structure of a MySQL database. So how do you actually go about creating a database? So realize that there's a number of terms that are going on here. We've talked about MySQL, which is actually a service that runs on CS75.NET Server. It's very much like Apache, which is a service that runs on CS75.NET Server. So in order to contact or to be able to do any of these SQL statements, you need to be able to contact first the service. Then below that, you have a list of databases. So all of you having CS75.NET accounts, you are provided a maximum of 6 databases, which means that's 1 for the remainder of the projects that you have here, and also just a couple extras for you to play around or for you to test with. Within a database, you can actually have multiple tables. And what we have created here is an example of a table. So you can actually have multiple tables within one database. So don't let this different terminology confuse you, but realize that before you can start creating tables, you at first have to create a database for that table. So generally, and this is just very generally speaking, for one particular web application, you'll have one database. So for example, for Project 2, or that would be the first one that has SQL, correct? So for Project 2, you might create a database that's specifically made for Project 2. You would have however many tables you need in that. From Project 3, you would have a database for Project 3, etc. So is that clear to everyone? At least when I was first learning MySQL, that was a source of confusion for me, was what the difference is between a database and a table. So,
aside from the 6 database limit that we have on our accounts, yes. Are there any other limits related to the MySQL that we need to know about?
There are no limits that I'm aware of besides the 6 database limit. As far as I know, you are allowed an infinite number of tables, although please don't make an infinite number of tables, and et cetera. And so your tables can be as large as possible. But part of the reason that we define so rigidly the sizes of these various fields is so that they don't become oversized and cumbersome for the server to be able to manage. So I did forget to mention why we actually define each of these field lengths and such, and that is for that reason, so that especially as your databases grow, it's not going to become overly cumbersome for the server to deal with. So the way to first create a database is actually to just go to the panel, panel.cs75.net. And of course, you all can log in with your own username and password. If I can remember mine and find my mouse. There it is. All right, so we'll log in, never, and then I'll just pick one all right here. So now you're presented on this particular page, and then you go to the MySQL management link, okay? So once you log into the panel, you go to MySQL management. From there, you will see if you have any databases created, and I had already created one to write the section notes, but in this case, I'll just do a separate one just for with the intention of this section. So create new database. And now you have to create a database name. So in this case, you'll see that it prefixes with my CS75.NET account name, which is fine in this case, but I'll name it DanAllen_section. In this case, whenever you interface with MySQL, because remember I said it's a separate service that runs on the server, you actually have to log in with a username and password. So in this case, again, I will, and it'll become more important later as we talk about PHP, I'll create a username, section, and a password. which I will delay telling everyone on the internet for as long as possible. All right, so then we create the, well, I'll click create in just a second, but you'll notice that next to the database username section, I have the ability to choose an existing user. So if you wanted, after you've created your first database, you will have created a username and a password. If you want for subsequent databases, you can use that same user and password, which would make things easy among your PHP files. But that is a design decision, again, that I will leave to you. So I'll create, and now you'll see that it has created my information. It's basically just repeating everything that I've said. So now the database is created in the MySQL service. So now, how do I access that database? Well, you can actually just go to cs75.net/phpMyAdmin. And there's a link, I believe, from here as well. Let's see. So you click here to go back. And there's, do you see there's a phpMyAdmin link right under Create New Database? So if you wanted, you could click here, or you could just go directly to the link. The link is in the section notes, so don't worry too much if you forget it. cs75.net/phpMyAdmin. Hit return, and you are... Oh, I misspelled it. Okay. And as soon as my slow copy works... Okay, here we go. So now you're presented with this web page. So realize that you do not log in with your cs75.net account, but with that MySQL account that you just created. Okay? Everybody following along so far? So what I had there was danallen_section and the password, which I think I typed wrong. Then you click go. So from here, there's a whole bunch of kind of useless information on this right side. If you really wanted to poke around, you can feel free to do so. And I suppose, just in fact, we can just take a look at this. So for example, let's see, which would be a good one?
Databases.
So databases, that's going to be... All right, so if you click on the databases link, for example, that shows you a list of your own databases, but that information is replicated along this left navigation bar. You can see the very top one, it's pretty small font, but it says danallen_section. That is the database that I just created. So I suppose it was kind of a confusing thing for me to do to create a database and a username that was the same, that was exactly the same. You don't have to do that. You can... name them separately, and if I were thinking, I would have named them separately, but it is what it is. And then there's some other databases here, information, schema, and test. You can ignore those two. Those aren't going to be particularly important, especially when you first start out. So the very first thing we should do is click on our database. You'll notice that it says that there are no tables found in the database, and that's because we haven't yet created a table for this particular database. So let's create a table for this one. And so we're doing an address book, so I'll just name it address book. Okay, so that's the particular name of this table in the database. And the number of fields is basically the number of columns that we're going to have. So let's go back to that Excel-like file that we started creating our structure in. Let's see, so we had first name 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 7 fields for this particular table. So now, in the number of fields section, I type 7. So this, again, is another good reason to create the structure first so that you don't have to go back and change it later. You can, but if you create the structure first, you don't have to worry about that quite yet. Yes?
Is the table name going to be case-sensitive along the way?
Is the table name going to be case-sensitive along the way? I believe it is case-sensitive, yes. Mm-hmm. So do be careful of case. So in this case, I actually... probably did something kind of bad. Looking ahead towards the PHP, we probably want to assign, even though this is, so we talked about all of this information which is important for a person to know when creating an address book, such as the first name, the last name, the street, the city, but internally we may want a way to number or uniquely identify each of these people within the address book. So in this case, we will just create an ID number. So let's see, ID isn't a reserved word, right? So I can just use that. An ID, and we'll just use an integer in this case, where, let's see, we'll give it a limit of 5. So we can only have not, we can't have five people, but we can have an integer that's up to 99,999 people. So we're again limiting our database, but that's not so important. I doubt we're going to put 99,000 people. I certainly don't know 99,000 people. So, all right, so now I realize that, shoot, I messed up. I have to change this. Well, there's actually a nice little thing down at the bottom that says back in phpMyAdmin, where even though I had told it that I only want seven fields, I can actually add an eighth. There's an add one fields button down at the bottom. So it says add one fields right here, and I click on go. And so now instead of the seven fields, I have the eight. So the very first field that I have here is the ID. So just for simplicity, I'm going to name all of the fields in lowercase. And so when Cato demonstrates that, it might actually make it a little bit easier for him instead of having to worry about case sensitivity issues. The type in this case was what? Integer. I gave it a length of 5. All right, then the next one was first underscore name. That was a varchar, and going back, of length 25. And then we had last name. So as you can see, all I'm doing is just defining the field names in this furthest left fields column, defining the data type that it is in the pull-down box, and then defining the length of the value. So just to show as an example what would happen if you left this length blank for a varchar, I'm just going to leave it blank for now, and we'll come back to it later. Last name, we had a street, and city, and then state, and then zip code, and phone. So the last name was a varchar 25. The street was a varchar 50. The city, I forget, what did we define for that? The city was varchar 25. All right, and then we said that the state was not going to be a varchar, but instead a char of length 2. Zip code is a varchar of length 9. And the phone is a varchar of length 10. Everybody following along so far? So I'm basically just putting down exactly the structure that I had done here. So, yes?
If varchar gives you the amount of space that you need, then what's the difference between defining the length in varchar versus defining the length in char? Because you have them both defined.
So what's the difference between defining the length in the varchar versus the char? So
right. Varchar expand if you go above 30 and you have it.
No, the varchar will not expand beyond the maximum length that you provide here. The reason that it's variable length is only internally. You don't see it. So if instead of, for example, the first name, instead of using the first 25, or instead of using all 25 characters for the varchar, let's say that instead I put my name in it, which is 6 characters long, then just in memory it wouldn't write the rest with null values, which is what a typical... the char will, but... But there's another difference besides that, and I believe it's the maximum amount of characters that you can have, and I believe we can check in that data types. Do I still have that up? Was one of these tabs? I hope. Oh yeah. So we can take a look here to see what other differences. This is the MySQL documentation. We can see what other differences there are between char and varchar. Whoops. And I believe that the difference is actually that the char is a maximum of 255 characters. And, yep, so it says here, char column is fixed to the length that you declare. The length can be any value from 0 to 255, whereas the varchar, remember, was 0 to 65,536, I think. And so that was quite a difference. Okay. Did that answer your question? Okay, good. So notice that there's a lot of other things that you can fill out here as well. So we're going to talk more about primary keys and indices in future lectures and sections, but just know that it's generally a good idea to define a primary key, which basically says that it's a value that should be unique, and it's how the data should be stored in the database. And in this case, that ID fields that we had, where we uniquely identify each of the people, we're going to define with that key icon, which is up there. Like I said, don't worry too much about it now. We should be going over it. I suspect we'll be going over it in next week's lecture and section. So now, pretty much everything else we can leave at the default. And we'll just go ahead and click Save. So now, you'll notice that there's a section here that says SQL query, and there's a bunch of text here. Pay attention to that, because everything that we're doing here in PHP MyAdmin, you can actually replicate by performing a SQL query. And we're going to talk more about SQL queries in just a minute, but I just wanted to let you know that this is possible. So look down here, though. If we scroll down, you'll see that we have created the structure. And so don't get too confused, even though we define them as fields, which means that, you know, intuitively, or the way to think about it is that they're defined as columns. In this case, it shows them to you in row form, but that's just because of the way that you entered them in. So now you see, though, along the left side, that navigation bar, that we have our Dan Allen section database, and then within that, we have an address book table, correct? So you may be wondering why or where a case might be that we would have in maybe more than one table. Realize that a lot of the data that's in this table could potentially be duplicated. So, for example, we might have a lot of the same states or a lot of the same, even the same cities, for example. And in that case, you might, we're not going to touch that really right now. We will be next week. You can move a lot of the similar data into a separate table, and then later on just basically figure out which data, you know, basically combine the data from both tables to simplify it. But that's kind of overkill for right now, but just realize that that is one example of when we might have a separate table. So any questions about creating databases, creating tables, why we might structure it this way, anything like that? So far, so good. All right. Sure. Engine equals my ISAM, yes. So I believe that is the engine is the thing that actually does the storing of the data, so different engines might actually store the data differently and would perform queries differently. In general, you can just leave it at the default. That was an option in the previous screen when we were first creating the table, but the default my ISAM should be sufficient, especially for all of the, if not most, if not all of the implementations that you will be doing in this case. So, okay, so another thing that might trip you up is you'll see that the collation says Latin 1 Swedish CI. So don't worry about that too much. There's not actually a Latin 1 English. It's just that this deals with the types of characters that will be in this particular table, and the Swedish one happens to be the default, which includes all of the English characters. So don't worry about that. If you see that it says Swedish, don't lose any sleep over that, certainly. So let's go to this table. Realize that there are a number of things that you can do. So right now I'm observing the structure, which basically shows you the fields and all the data types and all that stuff. And so you'll notice that there's a number of things that we can do from this. We can browse. Browse means that we can view all of the records or all of the rows that are in this this database, which is very useful, especially as you populate it and you want to debug or something. You can use browse to see what you have in there. SQL, we can issue SQL statements directly from PHP MyAdmin. We'll go over that in just a minute. Search, you'll be able to search through all of your data. Insert is how you can manually insert data from PHP MyAdmin. We should probably actually do that right now, just so we have some data to work with later on. Let's see. So in this case, I probably did a bad thing. I should have done an auto increment for this. So with IDs, one of the things that's useful, if you just want the table to automatically, or if you want MySQL to automatically assign a unique ID to each of the records in the table, which is pretty useful, especially when referencing it from PHP or what have you, you can actually do what's called an auto increment. And let's see, that should be a extra. So it's under extra here, auto increment, which really only makes sense for a numeric data type, such as an integer, such that the very first record that we insert will be 0, and then subsequent ones will be 1, 2, 3, 4, et cetera, et cetera. And so that makes the most sense for an ID, because then we don't have to worry about telling the database what the ID is. It'll just do that for us automatically. So now let's insert some. So let's say that, we'll just leave the ID blank because that should it should be filled out for us. So the first name we'll say John, last name Harvard, street 123 Main Street, in Cambridge, Mass 02138. The phone number of 123-456-7890. Okay. So let's add actually a second one. So here, you can just scroll down a bit and add a second record. And don't worry, you'll be able to add all of this data from PHP as well, and you'll see how in just a minute. But let's instead of doing John Harvard, let's do Jane Harvard. So Jane Harvard Street. Well, it seems like they might live together. So 123 Main Street in Cambridge, Massachusetts, 01238, and they would have then that same phone number. So we'll click go to save this information. All right, so so you'll see here that it tells you some information. It inserted two rows into the database, and it tells you here the query that was used to insert it. And so, like I said, don't worry about that now. We'll talk about queries in just a minute, but this, now that we have some data in the SQL database, we can actually use browse to take a look and see and remember how we defined each of those columns. And you'll see that the ID is populated first with one, then with two, which is great. It was automatically input for us. The first name, the last name, the street, the city, the state, the zip, the phone. And so now, just so that we're sure that Cato is able to do an example that's more a little bit more robust, let's insert somebody else, so maybe John, not John, Timmy, all right, Timmy, last name, Radcliffe, okay, this is getting good, it's street address, anything, all right, so 53 Church Street, sounds good, how about number one, all right, and now a city, that would be, let's do a city other than Cambridge, so we'll do my hometown, El Paso, Texas. Zip code of 79912, and I happen to know that the area code is 915-555-1212. Okay. So now we have three records. As soon as I click go, we have three records to work with later on, and you'll see that this is actually somewhat useful. So let's keep going. So some of the other things you can do, you can export the database if you would like to be able to back it up or to save it onto your own computer. You can import a database from a backup, for example. You see these that are marked in red, empty and drop. They do what they're implied. So empty, if we click that, it would erase all of the data, but it would keep the structure of the table. If I did drop, it would just drop the entire table. The structure of the data would all be gone. There's no way if you empty or drop the table that we can get it back, so don't do it unless you really want to. And don't ask us if you did, because there's really nothing we can do. Yeah, if I clicked it, it would say, are you sure you want to drop table, whatever. And no, I don't, so I click cancel. But they're in red for a reason, so be careful when you do this. And this actually, as you'll hear about the SQL injection attacks, like when I click on drop, you'll see that it says, do you really want to drop table address book? That's a SQL statement that if issued, even from your PHP script, it'll actually drop the table. And so that's something that you have to be very wary about, is not to allow people to issue SQL commands on your database. So, great. So let's take a look at browse. So by doing browse, we now see that we have all of these rows returned. But let's focus now on the SQL statements that exist. So you'll see that the top of every page that actually does a SQL query, phpMyAdmin tells you what it is. I don't know how much bigger I can make it without getting I can make it pretty big. So you'll see that it says select asterisk from address book. The limit 0 to 30, we're just going to ignore that from right now. What's important is that it's a select asterisk from address book, and that does exactly what it sounds like. It's selecting everything from the table address book. So in PHP, as you'll see, you'll connect first to the MySQL server, then you'll connect to the database, and then every time you issue an SQL command, you have to tell it to which table in the database you want to issue that command. So we can actually perform this query ourselves. So if we click on the SQL tab, making it so big is kind of cumbersome. So let's just do select asterisk from address book. And so you'll notice that phpMyAdmin automatically put those backticks there. It's kind of confusing, but you don't really need it for the table name. So just leave that out for the table name. And so once we perform this query, we click go. We are returned exactly what we had before, which is the three rows of data and all of the fields. So let's say now, though, that I only wanted to see a certain number of fields. Let's say that I only wanted to see all the first and last names from the people that exist in this table. So that's where we change that asterisk. So remember that with select asterisk from address book, the asterisk doesn't actually represent the rows. The asterisk represents the columns or the fields. So you can replace this asterisk with the fields that you want to return. So in this case, we want to select first name, first underscore name, comma, last underscore name. And by doing this, we are saying that we want to retrieve all of the data from the first and last name fields from the address book table. Everybody following along so far? So if I click go, it performs the query from phpMyAdmin. And you'll see that it only returns, doesn't even return the ID numbers, doesn't return the state, anything like that. It only gives us the first and last name from everybody in the address book. But this is only of limited use, too. Sometimes you only want to return maybe everyone who lives in Massachusetts, or you want to return everyone who lives outside of Massachusetts, or something like that. So let's do the first one. Let's say that we want to return all of the information. Oops. So go back to SQL. So we want to return all of the information from a person that lives in Massachusetts, or more specifically, yeah, we'll just say Massachusetts for now. So select star, because we want to return all of the fields from address book, which is the table. And in order to provide a condition, we just say where, space, and then, let's see, it was called state, I believe. State equals, and then in quotes, MA. That makes sense. It's pretty straightforward. So now all we're saying, we just want to find all of the fields from that particular table where the state is equal to Massachusetts. So we perform the query, we scroll down, and we are returned exactly what we expect, John and Jane Doe, because they both live in Massachusetts. So now, what if we wanted to return... All right, so help me out with this. So I keep clicking structure instead of SQL. Okay. So how would I find the first and last name, or no, how would I find the phone number from everyone who lives outside of Massachusetts? Any ideas? So it's the very first thing I need for my query, for my SQL query. So select. So phone, so it actually gives me a list of fields here, which is pretty handy. So phone from address book, space, where, what? State. Yep, so it does not equal, and then quote, MA. So realize here that there's actually a couple of ways to test for inequalities in MySQL. So if you are looking around at MySQL statements, you may see this not equal sign that you're familiar with from PHP. But also, the same thing is this less than greater than sign. It means it's not equal as well. So you might see one of the two things, and they're both essentially equivalent. So now, we expect to receive that one query. So we got exactly what we expected, that phone number, that out-of-state phone number from everyone not in Massachusetts. So you can see that already we are getting pretty powerful stuff from these SQL queries, and that there's not a lot that you have to do in PHP. Well, I mean, there is a lot you have to do, but if you do a well-constructed SQL statement, you can actually get exactly the data that you want back very, very easily. So now, what if I wanted to actually issue a command or issue a SQL query to insert additional data? Because it's not going to be very handy if every time someone updates their address book, they have to email you, you go into phpMyAdmin, you click insert, and you manually type in that their buddy's information. So in this case, what should I... So I guess I shouldn't ask you, since I haven't shown you yet. But in this case, the statement to insert data is not select, but you can run another query called insert. So you do insert into, and then the table name, address book, and then you list all of the fields. So we're going to list, we're going to leave ID blank. It's not a good idea to leave many fields blank, but ID should be blank because it has the auto increment. Anything else that is not automatically incremented or not automatically filled in by MySQL, you should put in an insert command just to be sure that you are absolutely setting all of the data yourself and that you don't get anything weird. So first name. So the first thing that we do in the parentheses is list the fields that we have. And then last name within quotes and then separated by commas, street, city. Scroll down here so it makes it easy. State, zip, phone. Okay. Now we close the parentheses to represent that we're done with the fields that we want to update. And then we use values, and then again, in a comma-separated list, all of the values. So somebody help me out. We're going to insert a fourth person into this address book. What's the first name that I should put here? Just somebody yell out a first name.
David.
All right, David. All right, that's good.
Malin.
I'll do David Malin. All right, so his street address. 52 Easy Street. Very good. City, we'll instead do Boston this time instead of Cambridge, just for variety. State, Texas. Zip code. Oh, my mistake. I'm thinking of, what's the zip code in Boston? Anybody know? 02115. Okay, that sounds like a good one to me. Notice that even though we defined the zip code length to be a maximum of 9 characters, we actually haven't used all of that. That's okay. We don't have to use the maximum length. But if we knew that the additional, the +4 for the zip code, we would enter that in. And a phone number. Oops, you guys didn't tell me. I didn't close the quotes on the phone number. You wanted to see it error out on me, didn't you? Kind of. All right, so phone number. So 617-123-4567. Okay, so this, you have to be very, very careful. So remember that very much like PHP commands, SQL statements are actually separated with semicolons, so it's possible for us to run another statement or another query right after this one. And remember, do you remember what that one was called? Drop table address book? Now, if we were to run this, we would insert the values, and then we would actually delete everything right away because we would be dropping the table address book. And so basically, so I'm just using this as an example where at the very end of that insert statement, I put a semicolon representing that that statement is finished. Then I put a second statement. But this represents very well what can happen if you're not careful with the PHP. So, for example, if you just blindly put in whatever somebody puts in a form, what if, for example, after someone had put in their phone number, they put an apostrophe, they close the parentheses, a semicolon, then drop table address book? If you just blindly initiated that query, they would delete your table. And this is what's called SQL injection attack. We'll talk more about it in lecture, but I wanted to be the first one to tell you about that. So, because it's kind of cool. So, all right, so we're going to delete the drop table because we don't want to run that command. So now again, the generic form of the insert command is insert into, and then the list of fields. So field 1, field 2, encapsulated in quotes, and separated by commas, dot, dot, dot. And then values, so I'm just putting it on the next line. You don't have to actually put it on the next line, but I ran out of space. Values. And then in parentheses, another comma-separated list encapsulated in quotes.
And you need the table name after into.
Into, oh, yes, you're right. My mistake. So, all right. So insert into table name, and then you have in parentheses the comma-separated list, field 1, field 2. Thanks for catching that. Appreciate it. And then values, and then from there, another encapsulated in parentheses, comma-separated list, value 1, value 2, et cetera, et cetera, for as many fields that you have. Okay, so now we will initiate this query. Click go. Oh, we got an error. Let's see. I have an error in my SQL syntax. So, you know what? I bet it didn't like were... Oh, that sucks. It erased all of my... All right, let's see if I can copy it again. Oh, good. So I got saved by the repost. So all I'm doing now, I got an error. So, you know what? I bet the mistake I made was this. I just want to make sure before I say it on camera, because it's embarrassing enough to get a big red X on the SQL. So I'll copy this entire statement before I do it. Okay, so... all right, so it says the SQL query has been executed successfully, and you can see that the query took very, very little time. So I misspoke, and actually I have to update the notes. So the field name should not be necessarily encapsulated in quotes. Do be careful, though, because just like PHP, there's a set of words, basically, that are called reserved words that are used automatically. So, for example, if you had a field name called insert, you would have to encapsulate that in quotes because... MySQL wouldn't recognize it as a field name. It would recognize it as a command. So in this case, the only difference that from what I said before was that not to encapsulate the field names in quotes. So everything else, the value should be encapsulated in quotes. And you can see that it executes successfully. And so this actually is a pretty good example of what you should use phpMyAdmin for, and that's to test your queries that you're going to use in your PHP scripts before you actually use them in the PHP scripts, then that way you can make sure that everything works before you actually try to do it in MySQL. So now we will go ahead and browse the data, and we should find a fourth one. Yep, we have David Malin living in 52 Easy Street. So, all right. So are there any questions about tables or databases or MySQL queries? So the two big ones that we learned here were insert into and the select from. And then with that way, you can do a great number of SQL queries. So I think for right now, we'll just take a quick 5-minute break. And when we come back, Cato will show you how to implement the SQL queries into your PHP scripts, and we'll make an actual address book application.
All right. Welcome to the second half of today's section. And as Stan said, we'll be covering PHP and MySQL and how they interact together. So you've probably seen all the, you've seen the course website. You've seen the forum in particular, which uses a MySQL database to store all its topics, the list of users, the separate messages. These are all stored in the MySQL database, and they're read by PHP into the forum software, which you can use on the course website. So we'll be implementing something similar to that, although we'll be implementing an address book using the data that Dan made earlier on. So the first thing that we need to do is create a PHP script. So I will do just that. All right, so what might we first want to do with an address book? What is the first page that we want to implement, given that we've already got some data?
List the entire address book contents?
Mm-hmm, yeah. So first we'll create let's call it index.php. I'm doing it on the other screen, but I should be able to see it. Can you all see? Is this big enough? Okay. So now we've got a template here. We'll call it my address book. Okay. So here we can simply insert the PHP statements that we need to list this address book. This is the contents of this address book. What's the first thing that we need to do when we write a PHP script that uses MySQL?
Object?
Yeah. So first we need to connect to the database server. As Dan said earlier on, Apache, which runs PHP, and MySQL are different services, so you have to connect to it first in order to talk with it. So the relevant function here is called MySQL connect. And as I can never remember the order of the arguments that it takes, I've got a separate text file stored here which tells me. So the MySQL connect is a function which takes the server, username, and password. So here we can say the server here. Anyone know what the server is? The server name? Yeah, localhost. Localhost refers to the current server that it's running on. Since CS75.NET uses the same machine for both the Apache server and the MySQL server, we can use localhost, which means the current server. Now, depending on your hosting platform, if you move on to other things later on, you might find that the server name is called MySQL, it might be called SQL, it might be completely different. It might be on a different physical machine. So bear in mind that localhost is not a hard and fast rule. So what is the next argument that we need? The username. So the username here was Dan Allen section.
Yeah, Dan Allen underscore section.
Thanks. And the password is, as we saw, password. So this is our MySQL connect function. As I said, it takes the host name of the database server, the username with which to connect to the database server, and the password that corresponds to that username. So these are three basic arguments that this function takes. It takes a few more arguments if you want, but you can see that for yourself in the PHP manual. They're not required. So we have this function here. And this function connects to the database server and returns something called a connection resource or a connection object. And basically what that is it's a representation of the connection between the server and the Apache server and the database server. So we can store the contents of MySQL Connect just like any other variable. Let's call it SQL. So we've got our connection object. We don't actually need to use it. If you have two connections to the database server, you'll have to use it. But at the moment, we don't actually need to use $SQL. The only reason why you might want to use it is for error checking. MySQL connect will return false or null if the connection doesn't work properly. So for good coding purposes, we probably want to say if not SQL, which means if SQL is not a connection object, then throw an error. Say exit with the error connection failed. So this is very important that we exit here. Exit is the same. It's another name for die. I don't like using the function die, so I use exit. It's a predefined PHP function that basically just kills the script and ends execution there. So we want to exit because we don't want to continue executing queries on a connection that doesn't exist. If this part of the code executed, then obviously $SQL wasn't initialized, so MySQL connect failed. So we don't want to write queries to a server that is frankly not there. So when we've done that error checking, what can we do? What do we next need to do? Yes?
Create the query string and sending it to the mm-hmm. SQL object?
Right. So before that...
we've connected to the database right. server, so now let's open the database.
Yeah. That's right. So we can do that with a function called MySQL select DB. And we can say the database name here was Dan Allen section. Again, bear in mind that this was the username, this is the database name. So it will, yes?
Can you raise?
Oh, sorry. I will. Can you see? Yep. Okay. So MySQL select DB, Dan Allen section. This one we probably also want to do some error checking. We don't need to define a separate variable for it. If we can say, if not MySQL select DB, then, well, again, exit. Database selection failed. Although you probably want to beautify that with a nicer error message, because database selection, frankly, doesn't make sense to many of your users. So once we've selected the database, we've now connected to the database server, and we've selected a particular database with which to work on. So what next? What next? Yeah, so now we can execute our queries. So the PHP function to execute queries is very aptly called MySQL query. And MySQL query takes exactly one argument, which is the SQL statement to execute. And depending on the SQL statement, if it's a select query, it will return something called a result set, which is basically the results of your SQL query that you might see in phpMyAdmin. When phpMyAdmin displays a set of rows, as you saw earlier on, that is a result set. And MySQL query will return that if you feed it a select statement. If you feed it anything else, like an insert or update statement, which are statements that change the data, then you'll get something completely different. You won't get a result set, but you can check if it failed or if it was successful. It will return. I don't think it might return true or false, but you can actually just check it using the same thing here. You can say if exclamation mark MySQL query insert something something something, then you can exit with an error message, for example. But enough of that. The first thing we need to do is to get all the list of contacts in the address book. So what is the correct statement to use here? MySQL query.
Select star from address book.
Mm-hmm. Select star from address book. Okay. So what this does is it selects all the columns in the address book. That is the ID, the first name, the last name, the address, the zip code, etc., from the table called address book. So does everyone get this? Is this okay? Right. So instead of star, we can select, we can choose to get only a limited number of columns, say select ID first name from address book, which would, instead of getting all the columns, it would simply return a subset of that. It would simply return the ID and first names of each of the contacts. So, it would be a very narrow result set. It will be like a very narrow Excel table with just the ID and the first name. And in this way, why you don't want to use star all the time is because if you return all the columns from a result set, then you'll end up with lots of data. And since the Apache server and MySQL server may be on different servers, then you incur a lot of network bandwidth. You're using up a lot of data that you really didn't need to use. So if at all possible, you should specify the columns that you want. But for our purposes now, we can simply say select star. Okay. So as I said, MySQL query in this case, since it's executing a select query, it will return a result set. And we can call that $result. Okay, so I would really like it if MySQL query in this case returned an associative array of all the rows and columns, if it was so simple as that. But unfortunately, it isn't. $result is actually an object, and you can't manipulate it directly. You have to use the built-in MySQL functions to manipulate this $result variable, which is now the contents of the result set. We have to use some specific functions to access the data that we've just retrieved using MySQL query. So,
I have a question.
Yes?
When you're sending the query, you didn't actually specify to which object or to which
right.
one that you already opened. Mm-hmm. So in one PHP file, in one statement, you can have only one database.
MySQL query takes another optional argument, which is $SQL, and in this case we haven't used it because frankly it's not necessary because we only have one connection. PHP's MySQL functions assume that if you only have one connection open in a PHP script, then you're talking about that connection. So unless you start delving into lots of database servers, you don't need to specify the connection object.
So you could specify the connection option in object, but you could also specify the database. So if you had two databases on the same server,
right.
you could add that optionally as well after the select whatever.
The MySQL connect function or the
you've opened up the Dan Allen section database.
Right.
You know, what if you also wanted to open up the David database?
Oh, okay, I see.
In a separate, in an entirely separate query. On this page, there's only one database,
right.
So it knows which database you are, where it should look to find address book.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so the question here was, what if you had two databases and in separate queries you wanted to access one database, and in another query you wanted to access another database? So MySQL actually provides a very nice shorthand for this. So instead of selecting DB, we could have done select star from Dan Allen section dot address book. Now, this refers to the address book table inside the Dan Allen section database. And if you do this, you won't need to call MySQL select DB. But I chose this because we only have one database. And putting this into every statement that we process, it's a lot of typing. And frankly, I don't want to type that much. So I used MySQL select DB. I would recommend that you use this unless you had had two databases. And unless you're dealing with a very complicated data structure, usually you would have lots of tables in one database instead of lots of databases with only one or two tables. So,
Table names within one database have mm-hmm. to be unique.
Yeah.
You won't have to worry about correctly identifying it.
Right, yeah. So, whichever you choose, there are two ways of doing it. For now, I'll just revert to the previous one. It probably won't come up in any of the projects because you'll only be referring to one database per project. Okay, does that answer your question?
Sure.
Okay, so now we've got the result set. I say we've got the result set, but what does that mean? It doesn't actually mean that we've actually got all the data in $result. $result only contains a reference to the data. So we need to do something to get the actual physical strings and integers that were in the result set. So what do we need to do here? Does anyone know?
Can you set a new associative array?
Mm-hmm. Well, this isn't actually an associative array, but we can create an associative array.
Right.
Yeah. Well, for the purposes of this demonstration, since we just want to print out a table of contacts, let's just say we use the echo statement. So the concept here is that to return a result set, you can only return one row at a time. So let's say you can only return the David Malin row one time, and then the second time you can return the Dan Almendares row. So you can't return all the rows at the same time. So we use a function here called MySQL fetch row, or fetch array, or fetch asoc, associative. In this case, we'll use MySQL fetch associative. This was the function that was discussed in lecture on Monday. And I think someone asked a question, what are the differences between MySQL fetch row, MySQL fetch asoc, and MySQL fetch array? MySQL fetch row returns all the... So for example, if I said select... if I said select ID first name, blah blah blah, MySQL fetch row would return an associative array of one row with this set with the key 0 corresponding to the ID and with the key 1 corresponding to first name. So MySQL fetch row is useful if you're only returning a very limited number of columns, or if you want to save some performance. But MySQL fetch row, frankly, isn't that fast. Isn't that much faster than the other functions. So this is MySQL fetch row. MySQL fetch asoc, or associative, returns this in an associative array. So you'll get a key saying a key called ID and a key called first name in the row. This will become much clearer when I do the demonstration. But MySQL fetch asoc is pretty much... it can pretty much do anything that you want because you can... In MySQL fetch asoc, you can only refer to columns with their names, but isn't that easy to read? It's good for programming, right? So let's use MySQL fetch asoc. Well, MySQL fetch array, as the student in lecture pointed out, returns both of these. It returns both forms of the key. It returns both the associative form and the numerical form. But we won't delve into too much details here. We'll just use MySQL fetch asoc. So we can do MySQL fetch asoc result. So we've taken the result object from the MySQL query, the result of MySQL query from earlier on, and we've plugged that in into MySQL fetch Ahsoke. And MySQL fetch Ahsoke here returns an associative array of the first row of results. That's one important thing to remember. It doesn't return everything. It just returns the first row. So if we did here, if we call this row equals MySQL fetch Ahsoke, and then we did print R is the print in readable form of dollar $row. What do you expect to see? Yeah, was John Harvard the first one? Yeah. Okay, so you'll get John Harvard, his address, and his zip code, and other details. Let's see if that works. What is the error? Access. Oh, of course. I'm not running it on the CS75.NET server. Yes. So that is a problem. If you're writing your code on XAMPP and your database is on the CS75.NET server, you obviously can't read localhost because it's on a different machine. I don't know about the security settings on CS75.NET, but I doubt that you can refer to the CS75.NET database
from outside.
Yeah. Most hosting services will not allow you to access the database from outside because it's a big security hole. Because many users simply set their password as password, for example, and anyone in the world will be able to change the data. So let's move this code to the CS75.NET server. All right, let's try again. Okay, so let's view source so we can see all the page the line breaks. It's on the other screen. Yeah, so I hope you can see. So now what we've got back is an associative array with ID 1, first name John, last name Harvard, etc. So this is basically our first row in the database. And MySQL fetch Ahsoke has returned this first row as an associative array. So it looks like it's very easy to use, right? You can say if our row is called $row, then we can say $row and the square brackets and the single quotes ID, and we can refer to the ID. So it's very simple in that it returns an associative array. But so now we've got this. Let's go back to the code. So this being an address book script, what do we want to do with the data that we've just returned?
Sort it.
Okay. Well, that's going a bit too far. We'll probably cover that later on in the course. But yes, it is important to sort. But first,
is there a default sort?
By default, this is not sorted. It's sorted by user ID. So it'll be sorted by in the order that you entered all the data. So sorting is very easy in MySQL, but we'll cover that in
later. That's your key.
Right, yeah. It's our primary key, so by default it becomes the sorted order. So here, what we want to do is, what do we want to do with the data that we just returned?
We're going to print all the rows.
Right. Let's just print this row for now. And let's create a table. Sorry, I'm not listening to any of the suggestions. Okay. So can we just make it easy and say we just want to return the name and the phone number? We're just implementing yellow pages here, nothing else. So is that right? THTH. Yep. So I'm just outputting a table, and we want to close that. Okay. So now we've got this row. How can we refer to the name? Let's concatenate the first name and last name. What can we do? How do we get the first name of the
first row, bracket, mm-hmm. first name,
yeah.
space,
right, yeah. Yeah, that's good. So I'm going to do first name. Was it with an underscore?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So we've got the first name, and then we concatenate a space. Is everyone familiar with string concatenation? Is that okay? Okay, so last name. And we close that table cell, and we open a new one with the phone number, which was it phone? Phone. Thanks. Okay, so... All right. So now this prints out a row with the first name and last name together and the phone number. So if we go back, yeah, John Harvard, 123456789 0. So now we've got our first functioning MySQL script, the only problem being that it only returns the first data row. So now, as you suggested, we want to return the other rows as well. So we can do this by... So first let me point out that MySQL fetch asoc returns the row when there's another result. To be fetched. If there aren't any more rows to be fetched, MySQL fetch asoc returns false. So we can use a very very nice construct in PHP called the while loop. And if you have any experience in other programming languages, you'll have seen it before. This basically so we want to close that. This basically means that while the MySQL fetch asoc function is returning something that isn't false, do this. And if it, the first time it returns false, just don't bother with this and go on to the next statement. Does that make sense? So it's going to loop through all the rows until it finishes. Until MySQL fetch asoc says, okay, it's finished, I'm returning false. So now with this very simple addition here, I save it, and, okay, so, if I refresh, I can get all the rows. So it's very easy to get. If you can get one row, then you can get all the rows.
You have to mail twice.
Do I? Did you insert David Mailer twice?
What was the question?
Well, the question was that why is David Mailer listed twice?
I'm checking right now.
Okay. So I don't think there's anything wrong with the code that I.
Send post data again.
Oh.
Yeah, it's been inserted twice. Great. I'll fix.
Okay, thanks. So we've got our first functioning address book here. Right. Voila. So we've now got this functioning address book, although it's very simple. Now what might we want to implement? Yes.
I just have a question about the code you just wrote. So I don't understand what about that method.
The while loop?
Well, I mean, I understand the way a while loop works, but I don't understand what's making it increment through all the entries in the database.
Oh, okay, sorry. MySQL fetch asoc returns the next row in a result set. So the first time it's called, it returns the first row. The second time it's called, it returns the second row,
and so on. Automatically.
Right, yeah. MySQL fetch asoc does the incrementation for you. So it's often used in PHP scripts, this while and MySQL fetch asoc. So it's something that you can remember.
So if you actually just ran it two times in a row, it would fetch the first
right.
and the second.
Yeah, do you want to try that?
We don't have to.
Okay, well, it does it.
So if you actually wanted specifically to get the first row multiple times,
right.
you have to do something different.
Right, but why would you want to get the first row twice?
Well, if you wanted to get ID, well, I guess you can do that.
If you
were in the first row, you'd be using a specific select statement to say, I want... Not the first row, I want the row that contains this value.
Mm-hmm. Well, right. You can also do it with PHP. You can say just row equals this, and then row 2 equals that. So you can copy the data in PHP. I wouldn't call MySQL fetch asoc twice, you can't use it to call it twice, but MySQL fetch asoc basically returns the next row. So that's the thing to remember with that function.
Does it make another call to the database?
Every time it's called?
Well, the whole result isn't in result.
Right, yeah. So, yeah.
So where is it?
It's always communicating with the server to get all the data.
Oh, so it keeps going back?
Right, yeah. So that's not as resource intensive as you might think because, if you were getting the data in one whole batch, it'll be the same anyway. It's using the same amount of data. And since since MySQL Connect keeps on connecting to the server, keeps the connection alive until the end of the script, it's no problem. It's just like talking on the phone.
And if you got the whole database, then that first fetch would be time-consuming.
Right, yeah. So that's exactly right. If result were to return everything, then it would be a very resource-intensive operation.
So say I wanted to put a database in that associative parade row,
mm-hmm.
would I do while and just leave out what's inside the brackets? Would I be able to do something like that? Say I just would want to be able to just get the database and put it in an array and then do coding thereafter. Would I just leave out everything that's inside of the while loop?
So do you want to retrieve the whole database in one go?
Right. Say I want to do something.
You can't actually retrieve the whole data in one go.
Okay.
The one way to do it is to define an empty associative array here, and then increment that associative array with the new row data. So essentially, you end up with a multi-dimensional associative array with all the rows. But that can be used sometimes, and it has to be used sometimes. But since we're just echoing out all the data as we receive it, this is the most the least resource intensive way to do it.
Wait a minute, that might actually be dangerous, because if you have a database with thousands or millions of rows, you're putting them all into one very large array.
Mm-hmm.
You can actually run into the maximum memory that's allowed for your script, and which can cause it to exit. Which is why this probably behaves by fetching only one row at a time, and then you can manipulate each individually.
Mm. So I don't know if that was caught on camera, but Dan's point was that if you do that, if you put everything into one associative array, then you end up maxing out the memory limit, which I think on the CS75.NET server is 16 megabytes. So if you have a lot of data, then your script will crash, and you don't want that. So it's not the best idea.
Is there an easy way to do operations mm-hmm. on the row that you currently have? In other words, is there an easy PHP syntax to mm-hmm. say delete the row that I just fetched?
No, you have to for example fetch the ID and then
statement.
Yeah, and so you would say delete from address book where ID equals
okay.
that ID. So you'd have to create a new SQL statement for that. Okay, so now we've got a list of all the contacts. What might you want to do? And what's the next logical step? Okay. Can we avoid sorting for today? Well, I mean, we can list. Now, what do we want to do? We want to insert contacts, right? Yeah, clearly. Well, that's fine. So I've created this very simple form earlier on to create a form. I mean, to create a contact. This is basically a template at the moment. It's just a form, and when submitted, you notice the form element hidden, which is called submitted. So if you click on submit, the submitted value will be set to yes, and so it executes this code instead of this code. That's a very it's a very popular trick used in PHP, and I think David's also gone over this kind of script in login.php. So now with that explained, what do we do when the form has been submitted? Well, just to show you what this page actually looks like, new contact.php. Yeah, it looks like this. It says add a new contact, full name, add contact. It's a very simple form. I wasn't aware that the first name and last name would be separate, so let's change that to first name. So for now, is it? Oh, thank you. Well, actually, it doesn't really matter because this is the form, and we can change that later. But yeah, okay. For the sake of consistency, I will change it. Oops. First name, and then another element with last name. So for now, I won't bother with the other form fields, but I'll just point out that the implementation is exactly the same for the other fields. So this is a simple form. You type in your first name and your last name, and you hit add contact, and it adds you to the database. So What might we want to do here?
Get the variables.
Get the variables, yes. So let's say, let's get the first name variable in. Okay, so I've munged the underscore again. First name and then last name.
You have to check that the database has been connected to and is open.
Yeah, that's the next thing we have to do, because this is a separate script from index.php, so our database connection is no longer active. We don't have any connection to the database. So the first thing, well, the next thing that we have to do is to connect to the database again, because we're going to be sending some statements over that tell the database server to insert some new rows into the database. So we have to first start talking to the database. So can anyone tell me what the syntax is for connecting to?
Can I ask you another question?
Yeah, sure.
If we were back on the previous script,
mm-hmm.
I apologize for the naivety of this question.
No.
If we were to refresh the page,
mm-hmm.
we couldn't take advantage of the fact that we had previously connected to the database
right.
and opened it, because that's gone. Right?
Yeah, that's right. The connection ends at the end of the script. Right. You can also end the connection explicitly, but... know for now that PHP automatically closes the connection at the end of any script. So we have to do if MySQL connect. So the server was localhost. That's the username that we're using, and the password is password. So if not MySQL connect. So note here that I haven't specified a separate $SQL variable here. I'm just using this shorthand form to say, if MySQL connect returns false, then show this, which is going to be an error message saying... so now we've connected to the database. What do we want to do? Can anyone tell me?
Can we get to open?
Yeah, choose the database. So this gets very repetitive. In your actual projects, you might actually want to make these a separate function and put these in a separate file. And you can require those files or include those files into all of the scripts that use database connections, so you don't have to retype this over and over again. And obviously, storing the host name and the username and password is not a good idea. So you want to put that in a separate constants file, like you did with project 1 and config.php. So now we're going to select the database. Okay. So now we've selected the database, what do we want to do?
Query.
Yes. So we're going to insert a new row into this database. MySQL query. So I omitted the braces here, which means that it's functionally similar to this.
No, I mean, since we're...
Oh, right.
Adding, all the stuff that we're adding should be...
Mm-hmm.
If we're adding a new query or whatever, there is no inset.
Okay, so the question was, shouldn't I have an else statement, and should all this be in the else block, since if the connection succeeded, then we want to go onto that block. But the answer is we don't actually need that, because exit quits the script anyway. So it's always going to, if the connection succeeded, then it's just going to go through here. And if the connection fails, then it's just going to stop here. And there's going to be no problem with if it going to the else clause or anything like that. Does that answer your question?
Is it bad programming to do it the other way?
No. Well, it's going to incur a lot of tabbing and like a lot of braces. So in most PHP scripts, if you call exit, then you don't have an else clause. So MySQL query, we're going to insert a new row. So the statement to use is insert into. What are we inserting into? Inserting into, yeah, address book. And if you recall, what we next need to do is to specify the columns that we're going to use today in this query. So the what are the columns that we're explicitly specifying? Yeah, first name, last name. If you're concerned, you can actually put backticks here, but these are not required. Instead of single quotes, you can put backticks, but most people will leave these out because you in designing a database, you don't usually use keywords like insert as a name for a column name. That's a bad idea, so we avoid that, and we can simply use this abbreviated form. So insert values. So what are our values? So this is simply concatenating this string with this string.
If you're doing a break in the line, you
need right. to... Right. I didn't want to send any extra line breaks to the MySQL server, so I ended the script here, and then it directly connects to this. I'm sorry if that was confusing, but this is an actual dot.
Yeah. It's good to know.
Yeah. Because right, yeah.
Sometimes I put, you know, mm-hmm. make sure it's not too long.
Yeah.
Wait, so the quote. Quotes are for the period and not for the field names.
Text. Sure. I could do that.
I mean,
this is I'm explicitly breaking here. It's called hard wrap. So in case it's not clear, this is the single quote and it ends here, and this open parentheses is part of the SQL statement and not part of PHP, and this is also another string, and these parentheses are part of the SQL statement and not PHP. Is that clear?
The only reason for doing this is so that because you wanted to be able to type a hard return mm-hmm. in the middle of your SQL statement, and the hard return is not a part of the SQL statement. It's
right.
simply a formatting thing for your own.
Yeah. So this is simply a formatting thing. It's not necessary. We could just do this on one line if you wanted. So it becomes hard to read, but you can do that as well. So what are the values that we want to do? I'm going to make another hard return here. What are the values that we want to...
Dollar
first name, dollar last name. Can we just plug those in? Yeah, the answer is no.
Oh, right.
Yeah. Why can't we just plug these in?
Because you're in the middle of a character string.
Right.
And it's single quoted.
Well, that too, but... What did Dan mention?
SQL
injection, yes. So if you blindly insert first name in here, then, well, my first name could have been, like, end single quotes, a drop table, address book. So you always have to be aware of what a malicious user might do to your script. So what we need to do here is, okay, so first we need to insert a single quote, because if you remember the SQL statement that we used to insert, table was insert into something with the column names, values. my first column value, my second column value, etc. So let's say we have column 1 and column 2 here. This is the first column name, and this is the first column value. This is the second column name, and this is the second column value. It's listed on the section notes for today, so you might want to take a look at those if you forget what the exact syntax is. So first, as you can see here, we need single quotes to enclose the values. Because SQL, like PHP, requires that you enclose strings in single quotes. And by the way, SQL does not accept double quotes. I believe some variations might, but in MySQL, it's usually the single quote that's used, and the double quote will not work. So we want to insert a single quote. This is going to get a bit confusing. So we're going to insert a single quote here into the string itself. The backslash escapes the single quote so that it becomes part of the string. So this is our string here. This is our string. And It's a string that happens to contain a single quote. Is that clear? So I know many people have been asking about strings and why you have to use a backslash, and it becomes very confusing. But if you look at it in modular form, if you look at it like this, then you begin to get the concept. So we inserted the backslash in the single quote because we wanted to insert a single quote like this, and we're going to end the string here because we want to insert first name. I guess it would have been a better idea for me to use these double quotes, right? I mean, that's what double quotes are for. Okay, so, sorry, I'll go back and change those to single quotes. Okay.
Just more.
Yes.
But now you close the whole string with double quotes.
Okay, so...
And you didn't start it with double quotes.
Right, so this is one string. This is one string, and also this is one string.
Oh.
You can concatenate single quotes with double quotes. I mean, it's not very nice form, and I apologize for that, but I'm just using double quotes in the last line here. So what do we want to insert? So notice that these single quotes are part of the SQL statement and not part of PHP. So what do we want to insert here?
A sanitized version of dollar first name.
Yeah, exactly. So we're going to end the string here. And obviously, do you remember the function? Okay, so this was mentioned very briefly in lecture, but the function here is MySQL real escape string. Now, this is a very long name, and unfortunately, there is no shorthand for it. There used to be, and there still is, a MySQL escape string function, but for various reasons, you don't want to use that one. You want to use the real escape string function. So inside this MySQL real escape string takes one argument, which is the string to escape, which is first name. And is this the correct number of quotes? So you see, this is very confusing. I will, yes. Wait, is that correct? Yes, I hope. Okay. Thank you. So now we can do the same thing here with the last name. Last name. So just in case we're curious, let's just, instead of doing MySQL query for now, let's just print out the SQL statement and see what we're getting. Add a new contact, first name. I don't know, David Malin, add contact, and the, ooh, it's failed. why did it fail?
You used get instead of the post.
Thanks. Yeah, so my form was being submitted via post and not get. Yeah, so now we have our SQL statement, and it's very small. The statement is insert into address book the column names, first name, last name, are the columns that we're inserting into, and the values for those columns is David and Malin. And just to demonstrate what the MySQL real escape string function actually does, if we say David, say O'Reilly, now this contains a single quote. Obviously, if you inserted a single quote into a SQL statement, it would fail because the string would end there. It would end at the O, and then single quote, it would end there. So if we hit add contact, you can actually see, ooh. So this is actually a problem that we probably need to fix with the CS75.NET server. It's a function called, it's a feature of PHP called magic quotes, and this actually adds these backslashes automatically, which we don't want to use, so we'll talk to David about that. But this, what this basically does is, what the MySQL real escape string actually is supposed to do, and actually does, is if you have a single quote in a string, then it simply appends that with a backslash. This is because MySQL also treats backslash single quote as meaning literal single quote, not the end of the string, but a literal single quote. So this prevents any malicious user from doing a MySQL injection attack, because the user is not able to get out of the string using just the form variables. Does that make sense?
So, what would
happen if the last name was semicolon drop address book?
If the last name in this case, in this code?
Yeah.
Oh, so since it's being escaped, then the first name, then the last name would simply become that it would include that drop table part as well. So there's a funny comic on xkcd.com where a certain child is named with this drop table and happens to delete all the school records. So you might want to check out xkcd.com and you'll find that very funny comic. okay, so our code is going to be pretty messed up now that magic quotes is enabled. Okay, let's just... don't look at this. I'm going to delete my SQL real escape string because magic quotes does the same thing. But don't look at this. Okay, so... Wow, my SQL real escape string worked. We've got one backslash, and the single quotes. This is what is supposed to happen and probably will happen. Right. I mean, it's not a good idea to have magic quotes enabled.
So before it was escaping the escape.
Yeah, it was escaping the backslash as well, and it was... a lot of backslashes. Okay. So now that our SQL seems to be working, what do we want to do?
Are we going to have to worry about what you just went through when we do our SQL project?
We'll probably disable magic quotes, okay. Because it's a feature that's been removed in PHP 6 because it's such a broken security measure, and it shouldn't be enabled in principle. So instead of echoing, we'll do MySQL query. And as with the other MySQL functions, it will return false if it fails. So if not MySQL query, then exit insert failed. Okay, so if we execute this, we should actually get a new row in the database. So it's like, David O'Reilly, add contact. So it doesn't display anything because I didn't make it display anything. But if we go back to this page and refresh, then I have a new field, a new row. The problem here is that obviously I haven't specified the phone number, so it's defaulting to the default MySQL string, which is empty string. But it's obviously worked. It's got the first name and last name, and the single quote appeared properly. It's not, it didn't mess up your SQL statement. Yeah. So does anyone have any questions about inserting or selecting? Or anything else that was covered?
There are two MySQL query statements that mm-hmm. not have a semicolon at the end of the SQL statement.
So in PHP...
And they seem to be working fine.
Right. In PHP's MySQL query function, you don't specify a semicolon at the end of your query.
You can't?
I've tried it and it fails, I think. Yeah, it will throw a very a non-obvious error. If you do that, so MySQL query takes one query, and that query should not be ended with a semicolon.
So then, how do you delete some database?
Oh, drop table is like any so any of these queries can have a semicolon, should have a semicolon at the end if you're running it on the MySQL command line client. But so you saw in PHP MyAdmin the drop table had a semicolon at the end.
Yeah, but I mean, if you're putting it into a form,
right.
Oh,
okay. So I think with multiple SQL queries, PHP does support semicolons in the middle of a query a SQL string to specify two queries in one MySQL query call. So it would still pose a security problem if someone were to put a semicolon, and if you didn't do the MySQL real escape string. Yes.
Mm-hmm. You didn't put a semicolon except for when there was another one going.
You don't need a semicolon if you only have one SQL statement being issued. But it's technically correct to have a semicolon at the end, but it's not needed if you only have like an insert or just one select statement.
And it's all on one line. I mean,
right. Mm.
So in PHP MyAdmin, it's optional. So if you're saying here it's.
Yeah, I mean,
and command line, it's a must.
Yeah, MySQL will refuse to execute your SQL query if you don't have a semicolon. But that's only for the quantum client.
Just know that having the semicolon at the end is good form. So if we can do it in PHP myadmin, but it's not required if you only have one statement. That's only on one line. So it's, technically speaking, you should have it, but it's an extra character that you don't have to type if you don't need to. So
let's see what happens if you have a semicolon. Someone's been playing with the database, I guess. okay. So, you can have a semicolon at the end. Sorry. PHP does allow you to have a semicolon even if you have only one query. Sorry, that was my mistake. So you can or you you don't. You can, but you don't need to, is the answer. Yeah. Did you have a question? Oh, okay. If there aren't any more questions...
XKCD/327.
XKCD.
I posted it in the forum.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So.
This is great. It's
sorry, what is it?
327.
327. Okay. So.
Is it?
Yeah,
that's it.
Is this it?
Yeah.
Okay. So yeah.
What's the alt text?
Pardon?
What's the alt text?
The old text. Her daughter is named.
If you move your cursor over toward the left.
Her daughter is named Help. I'm trapped in a driver's license factory.
Yeah. Okay. So with that said and done. If you don't have any more questions, this would be the end of this section. If you have any questions, feel free to come up. We'll still be here. And thank you. See you next week.
Thank you.